So here's what the Lord said to me, and here's the title of our message and where we're going today. Courage in the face of adversity. If you've lived a few minutes, there has been adversity in your life. And if you're going to live a few minutes more, there's going to be more adversity in your life. And I'm not sure where this started out and how it came to be, but some of the sharing of the gospel kind of presents a remedy that just gets saved and everything will be smooth sailing and wonderful. All your problems will be fixed. You know, you hear somebody talk about some of their troubles. Oh, you just need to get saved and it'll be better. Well, yes and no. And so even some of the things that we taught last week, we saw that trouble comes. Trouble comes. Trouble comes to all. And I don't have all the answers to explain to you, well, why did this happen and why did that happen? Are there reasons? Yeah, sometimes there are. I think there are things, there are cause and effect. There's poor choices are going to lead to poor outcomes. And, well, did God do that? Well, no, he didn't. And couldn't he keep me from that? Well, not if he's going to allow you to make choices for yourself. He can't. So there's areas there that we're learning and we're growing. But trouble will come. Adversity will come. Even the scripture we looked at last week, if you're fruitful, you'll be pruned, that you bear more fruit. Well, that doesn't sound good to me. Amen. Sounds a little painful. You mean the Lord's going to cut me back that I would bear more fruit? Yeah. Yeah. Nobody likes being cut back or going through some things. But even Job, everybody likes to, who wants to be negative, likes to talk about Job. Well, look at what happened to Job. I read in the New Testament where it talks about, I think it was Peter's writing, where we saw Job in his perseverance. We saw the end intended of the Lord. So even all that Job went through, there was a plan of God, an intention of God. Did he have to go through that? The answer is probably no. But because of how things went, he did. But God had an intended end, and it was much more blessed than when he started out. So even if you run into adversity and you don't get it all right, I haven't gotten it all right. You know, have I gone through some things unnecessarily? Yeah, probably. Have you? Yeah, we have. We have. But he's merciful and he's compassionate. We sang a song, new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Oh, just a couple weeks ago, I'm reading through my Bible and it just blew me away. And I saw it, I saw it, I saw it. That paralyzed man that was let down through the tiles in the roof of the building. He's coming down in a blanket. It's obvious. And it says that Jesus saw the faith in the friends, right? And saw that they had faith for him to be healed. They went through all that they did to get him to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the healer. He's the answer. And they're letting him down. And what's the first thing Jesus does? He says to him, son, your sins are forgiven you. He didn't say, how'd you get like this? What'd you do? That's what they said to Job, right? Yeah. What'd you do? Bring this upon you. And whether you want to admit it or not, you've thought that. What did he do to have all that happen to him? Minister friend that I have got in a bad car accident, broken bones and everything. And in telling me about it, wanted to right up front know that I don't know of what sin in my life this could be or anything like that. I'm thinking, why do you have to explain that? I don't think there's big sin in your life, brother. You don't have to tell me there's not big sin in your life. I don't believe it for a second. The enemy just attacks sometimes, you know, finds a way. Maybe we have an opening, but anyway, we're going to go through things. There's going to be adversity. Just thinking back at that for myself, did I display courage and all of that? Well, some people say I did. I'm not sure I did. I know I clung to the presence of the Lord and I clung to his spirit. I remember some months ago telling a minister friend, in fact, it was Pastor Cruzan, I told him, I probably lived more in the spirit during those days than at any point in my life. I was just right there all the time. I just wouldn't leave myself, get somewhere else. Just sensitive in the spirit. Just even if I wasn't saying something out loud in my heart, I was just always, always with that. My survival, let alone perhaps hers, our survival depended, our church depended on it. We'd be in a mess if I would have just totally fallen apart and all of that. And thank God we welcomed her back instead of a funeral service. Amen. So there will be adversity and courage is required. Courage is required. I notice the words encourage and discourage. Simply, you could say one means take courage from somebody, and another one means add courage to them. Don't be a discourager. Don't take courage from people. Every day, every chance you get, every person you talk to, give them courage. Give them hope. I saw the difference while we were going through difficult times with Pastor Sandy there. There were individuals who were trying to take courage from us. Hey, you need to just accept things, and it's never going to be. And the sooner you get to that point, the more quickly you can move on. They would take courage, and they would take hope. And I learned I don't need to be with those people. And then there were others who, hey, we always have hope in the Lord. I'm talking about medical staff in a lot of this right now. There was a difference, and it wasn't Christian and non-Christian. That didn't correlate. There were non-Christians who sought to give us courage and hope, and there were Christians who took away hope from us, you know. And so courage in the face of adversity, if you have courage, you can go through anything and meet any challenge. It's vitally important. I used to say to my wife, if I have you at my side, I can go through anything. And then she was injured, and I thought, you know, she's not at my side the same way. And if I would have lost her, she wouldn't be at my side. And how would I go through that? And I realized, you know, Lord, I repent before you. If I have you at my side, I can go through anything. And I realized I gave her a place of significance and importance that is right, but I got to be careful I didn't give her the Lord's place.
That's right.
With him, with I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And now all the times I've needed courage, the Spirit of God ministers Scripture to me. And if I'll take heart in that, pick it up in my mouth and so on, I have that courage. So we're going to talk about courage in the face of adversity. And it seemed like the best place to start is with Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, please. Joshua 1:1, we'll read a few verses for context and so on. But you, if you know your Bible, you already know what's coming here. Joshua 1:1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. Let's stop there for a second. Is this the first instruction to go over the Jordan? No. This is the second time. When were they instructed to go over the Jordan? Joshua and all the people. Some 40 years prior. Right? So this is after the wilderness wandering of 40 years, where an entire generation did not have courage, did not believe, and the words they spoke, it'd be better to die in the wilderness. The Lord said, okay, I've heard you say it. That's what will happen. And an entire generation died out for lack of courage in a time of adversity or opposition. So now this is Joshua, 40 years later. Moses has passed, and they're going to go into the promised land. And Joshua is instructed to lead them there. So arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Let me take a little side note here. That description of the land given to Israel by promise includes all of present-day Israel, all of Lebanon, all of Syria, all of Jordan, all of Iraq, and I'm missing something to the south here as well. The great river Euphrates is in Iraq. The land given to Israel by covenant includes what is today other nations. And so this claim about Israel doesn't deserve this or that or whatever. You watch. At some point in time, Israel will have all of that territory. It may not be in our lifetime. And there will be great opposition to it. There'll be a fight. There'll be wars. There's a big one coming. Probably, maybe not in our lifetime. I don't know. But when you wonder about Israel and the nation of Israel, where it should be, here's the description. From the Mediterranean Sea to the river Euphrates, that's pretty much most of, and that would include Saudi Arabia too. And by the time you get to Iran, they're Persians, not Arabs. And it's a little bit different there. So just know that when you hear about Israel and is Israel the problem, no, Israel is not the problem. Israel is God's covenant people. And when it comes to should they give up land that they had to acquire defending themselves, absolutely not. So we'll come on back. Bible history relating to the modern day. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And then here's an instruction to him. Be strong and of good courage. For this people, to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So Joshua is instructed again and again, be strong, be courageous, be strong and be very courageous. Do not be dismayed. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you wherever you go. We saw here, everywhere will you step. That'll be yours because you're going in there in the name of the Lord. You're going in the courage of the Lord. You're going by promise and instruction of the Lord. There's other things we could draw from this that would really tell us the recipe for success. Having that word in your mouth, speaking it day and night, then you'll know what to do. Yes. And you'll do it. You won't do it without courage.
That's right.
Be strong and courageous and do what the word says. Then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. But for today's purposes, notice that he's instructed, I think it's three times here, be strong and courageous. Courage is not something that just some people are born with and some aren't. There's a way to foster it and bring it up in you. There's a way to walk in it. Some of us will know. Joyce Meyer wrote a book some years ago. I think it was called Do It Afraid. The presence or the availability of fear will always be with you. I happen to like to watch movies, historical movies, wars and things like that. But in many of the stories in war, Hacksaw Ridge is one in particular that saw the courage that's involved. The subject of that, I think he is Seventh-day Adventist, if I remember right. He called on the Lord continuously, and under heavy fire, he alone rescued, I think it's 80-some people off of the battlefield when the entire company had withdrawn and left. He did that continuously calling on the name of the Lord. And it wasn't that he was such a courageous, daredevil kind of person. Courage can be found in anyone who will walk with God. Anyone who will do according to the instruction of God. Anyone who will follow God. Anyone who learns how to not be dismayed. If fear comes up, well, it comes up in everybody. It doesn't mean that you can't accomplish and you can't rise up in courage. Fear will be present with you, but go anyway. Yes. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me.
Yes.
You're going to go through some dark places, but God will go with you.
Yes, he will.
So Joshua is commanded to be very courageous. So let me pose a couple of questions and we'll dig into these. Why would God command Joshua to be courageous several times unless there was going to be a fight? It's just better on your resume if you can write down super courageous. No. Why be very courageous? Because there's going to be a fight. And if I'm exhorting you this morning, be courageous. Why? There's going to be a fight. Most of you know you're already in a fight. You can think of two or three things you're fighting right now, right?
Yes.
Amen. Courage is part of that. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because there's a fight going on. The enemy would have you dismayed and give up without a fight. Some people call that peace. It's not. It's not peace. Why would God command Joshua to be courageous several times unless the fight looked like it's too much for Joshua? You ever hear people say, oh, we got this. We got this. Well, what exactly are they referring to when they say that? Do they mean, oh, I've done this before. I know how to do it. I can do this. Or are they saying, God is on our side, and if God be for us, who can be against us? We got this. So what underlies when somebody says, we got this? I'm telling you, the fight that's coming is too much for you. The fight you're in is too much for you. Oh, this is just too much, Lord. I can't handle this. You ever hear people say that? I can't handle this no more. I can't do this. I can't. Well, la-di-da. Welcome to the club. You hear of people, well, pray, Lord, take this and take this. You know, I can handle this part, but this is too much. He doesn't want you to handle part and take part away. He wants you to rise up and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God is for me, who or what can be against me? He wants you to rise up and take on all of it with him or in him. You don't figure you got it, got this, or got part of it. I got none of this. If I don't have you, we're in trouble here.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. So he wouldn't be commanded to be very courageous unless this fight was going to be too much for him. Here's another question. If God gave them the land, why was there going to be a fight? It's your land. I promised it to your fathers. Go in, take it. It's your land. Wouldn't they just really have loved it if they showed up and said, we're here for our land, and the inhabitants said, oh, come on in, let me show you around. I've enjoyed this for years, but it's yours now. Did they do that? No. They prepared for a fight. And the thing about it was, Joshua sent spies in like Moses sent spies in, and they learned some things about the layout of the land, and they found out from those spies that one of the persons said to them, we've been afraid and expecting all these 40 years. When are they coming? When are they coming? Remember the former spy said we were like grasshoppers in their sight and in ours? Well, that's not what the people thought. The people thought, the people in the land, they've defeated this king. They threw Pharaoh in the ocean, okay, and destroyed the entire army of Pharaoh. This was the biggest, baddest army of the day, and God delivered them with 10 plagues and destroyed the entire army. They were shaking in their boots. Israel's coming here. It's theirs. God's given it to them, and we're all going to die. That's what they thought, but that's not what Israel thought that they thought. Why does God command you to be courageous and fight for what he's promised you? If he's given it to you, God has given us the land, right? God has given me healing. God has given me prosperity. All right? Well, if you gave it to me, how come I don't have it? Because there's a fight involved. And I better get fighting. And I better learn how to be good at fighting. And I better learn how to be a skilled warrior in the Lord. Amen. So even if God makes you a promise, there's going to be a fight for it. Was Joshua having courage by himself enough to bring them into the promised land? Joshua is commanded, be strong and very courageous. Was Joshua's courage enough to bring the whole people in? Well, let me ask this way. The answer is no. Didn't Joshua have courage the first go-round 40 years before? In fact, he had Caleb too. Joshua and Caleb said, let us rise up and take it at once. It's ours. These people are bred for us. In other words, we'll eat them up. We will eat them up. God has given us the land. We will defeat them easily. God is with us. Let's go at once and take the land. So Joshua had courage 40 years before. Caleb had courage 40 years before. But this was a whole people going into a promise. This says something about churches today. Will a pastor's faith, will a pastor's courage, or a pastor's family and the pastor's wife, will the prayer team with faith and courage be enough by itself? No. That's why the word must be preached to a whole church, and the call must go out to a whole church. And we, our promise, say in this community, must rise up in courage together and take it. Amen. And there's going to be a fight. And it's too much for us. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Yes. Now in this discourse here, this scripture, Joshua was commanded to follow the instructions of God. Mm-hmm. The same will be true for us. If we will follow the instructions of God, you know, all we have to ask is, did God give us a vision for this building? If the answer is yes, well then everything else comes with it. There'll be a fight for it, but we're where we need to be. And we can accomplish, and we will accomplish. Amen. So it's not just the pastor or not just Joshua that has to have courage. We have to rise up in that together. Amen. So it's not just the pastor. It's not just Joshua. I have a command of God to be very courageous in the face of adversity. And with what we're going through, with bringing Pastor Sandy back to full restoration, we have had to walk in courage. And we still do. And it's meant to be displayed before you all so you can see and take courage yourself.
Amen. Thank you.
What did Joshua have to do to acquire and maintain courage? In that discourse we read there, several things were said. What did he have to do to acquire courage? What did he have to do to maintain courage? And by the way, once it's acquired, you have to maintain it. Just because you live one day courageous and bold and strong, tomorrow's another day. And then what if in the morning you wake up and you find out that that thing that was going in the right direction because faith is working, all of a sudden unravels and looks really bad, looks like a setback. Where's your courage then? Amen. Do you know the attack on Job, I've mentioned him a couple times already, came in waves. It was one thing, then it's another thing, then it's another thing. And I have seen people, one more thing at it, and they just melt down and lose it. What next? Don't let that ever come out of your mouth. Boy, I have had to halt my mouth so many times. And I've learned to say things like, all things work together for good. Them that love God and are called according to His purpose. I don't glorify a loss. I don't glorify a setback. I don't glorify a problem. You know, the car breaks.
That's right.
So you have to acquire and maintain courage. And every new thing that happens, courage, right? How do you get courage? I'm going to give you six things, kind of the processes. They don't necessarily come in order in any particular scripture or something like that, but you might write these six down. We're talking about courage in the face of adversity. Number one, remember first that a fight is brewing. When one fight finishes, another begins. I would love to have completed all the battles, and now I can just put it on coast for the rest of my life. But I know that is not how it works. You're going to go from fight to fight. And when you're victorious in one fight, a new one is coming. You don't need to raise your hand, but how many in here are in more than one fight right now? I am. You get the better of one, and then it'll be the next. And I've seen that with this building. And, oh, if I can just get a new furnace installed. Well, it's installed. And now I'm right on to the next thing. So I have a new faith endeavor that I'm on, and that is life. And if you'll look back, you'll see success after success. So 1 Peter 4:12 says this, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you." You ever see somebody? "What is this? I can't believe this. I was doing so good and now this happens. It was a great day until this happens," or, you know, that kind of stuff. "I can't believe it." What good does that do you? You don't know everything that's coming your way. Isn't that right? And when something blows up in your face, what then? So don't think it's strange. You know what? There's a fight coming for you. One that you don't know about yet. Well, I'm barely handling the ones I have. Yeah, well, more are coming. And by the way, well, does it mean I'm doing something wrong? Not necessarily. God will grow you in fight after fight after fight, because he may want you to accomplish some things that will require faith and a fight, which are nothing but a blessing to the kingdom. If you can learn how to receive finance in your personal life, you can learn how to receive finance for helping others, for ministry, for accomplishing great things. God has purpose in your personal prosperity. And so once you maybe grow to a place where you have all of your needs met, you're not done. He wants you to start extending faith into helping others, giving and such things like that. And he wants to keep growing you. Amen. So don't think it strange. Don't think it unexpected. John 16:33. You know, if you just expect it's coming, it doesn't blow you up. Yep. Wonder what today will hold. Well, whatever it is, I'm able. Whatever it is, God's with me. Whatever it is, I'm already appointed a victory in it. John 16:33 says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Jesus is basically saying, as long as you're in this world, there's going to be trouble. As long as you are in this world, there's going to be trouble. Well, I like to be free from it just for a little while and have maybe a few golden years where I can just take ease and all is good. It don't work like that. And if in your golden years, as some people call them, you're financially okay that way, God will still stretch you in other ways. And maybe even this whole thing about fixed income, I live on a fixed income. Yeah. Who fixed it? Yes. Meaning makes it static and it can't change and it can't move. Who fixed it? I'll tell you what fixes your income so that it can never increase. It's a lack of faith. Yeah, well, I only get so much a month. Well, you fixed it. Right there. And every time you say, well, we live on a fixed income, you just fixed it. Who fixed it? You did. I'm your friend. Honestly, I am. I'm your friend. God can bring meat by ravens. Don't let your mouth put up roadblocks and barriers. But you may have to fight for it. And sometimes fixed income is just someone not willing to fight. You settle for this is where it's at. I am your friend. I am helping you. Another thing I heard Pastor Nancy say this week, you know, if you love someone, you will tell them the truth of what they need to change, what they need to do, what they need to be, how they need to be different, all that kind of stuff. If you love someone, you'll tell them. Jesus said it this way. He said, it's the sick that need a doctor. Amen. I've come to call the sinner to repentance, not the righteous. And if we go to a doctor, I understand there could be an annual checkup or something like that, but people don't go to the doctor when they're feeling great. They go to the doctor when something's wrong and they want an answer. And if the doctor tells you, well, you need to drink more water, that doctor hates me, despises me, tells me nasty things. I don't want to hear that junk. Or you need to lose some weight or whatever things doctors tell you. You go there for the bad news. You pay someone to tell you what you're doing wrong. You know it most of the time, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Someone who loves you, a pastor who loves you, will tell you what you're doing wrong, not what you're doing right necessarily. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation. Whenever you read temptation in the New Testament, it could also be translated test. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Happens to all of us. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond what you are able. Let me rephrase it this way. He will not permit you to be in a fight that you can't win. Amen. This fight is just too much. No, it's not. If the fight was indeed too much for you to win, he would not permit it. Let's read a little further. It says, but with temptation or test, or let's say fight, but with the fight will also make a way of escape, or say it another way, will make a way to victory, that you may be able to bear it or to overcome or to win. In other words, if a fight comes to you, God already believes you can win this one. Heard one minister say it this way, you know, from the devil's perspective, he comes and brings a test to disprove you, and God allows the test to prove you, or you can win. If it comes to your life, you can win. If it's past God's desk and said, okay, I'll allow it. God allows a fight. He allows fights. The enemy comes with intentions to destroy. God allows it to build. And so if it comes to you, it's not only doable, but God has an intention that you win, and he'll help you win. So if something comes, you can win. You can win. I said you can win that battle. So whatever has happened in my family with Pastor Sandy here recently, I can win. The battles for us used to be mostly financial. And the Lord has said to me in recent weeks, numbers of times, you've accomplished some things financially. You've understood faith in finances. You've grown nicely in that. You need to understand faith for healing. And he's given us a good fight to teach us at, what shall we say, an advanced level or something like that. Pastor Sandy and I will minister from our victory. Yes. Amen. Amen. So our first one was, remember, a fight is brewing. Always, all the time. And you finish one, you're going into another one. Number two, review what God has said about the outcome of this fight. I think if you'll look back, God gives you the answer before the fight. It'll be in your spirit. You'll hear a message or a teaching or something, and then the fight will come. And if you look in your spirit, you already have the answer. Now, if someone doesn't read their Bible, doesn't fellowship with God, doesn't attend church and is not instructed in the Word, I'm not sure that they're going to have what they need for that fight. But the opportunity for them was there. But God has always said some things. I'll call your attention to verse 8 again of Joshua 1. Number 2 again was review what God has said about the outcome of the fight. He said in verse 8, this book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So what did God say about the fight for Joshua? Hey, this book of the law, my word, what I've said, keep it in your mouth. In other words, keep speaking it, keep saying it day and night, day and night. Stay with it, stay with it. Because if you'll stay with that word, you'll know what to do. And if you do according to that word, you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. So God gave instructions before the battle. Review those instructions. Go back and look for them. They're there. I like this, Isaiah 55:11. It says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Notice it says it shall not return to him void. He sends it, and it will prosper in the thing that he sends it for, but it mentions returning to him. How is his word returned to him? By what we say. He sends his word, and we send it back to him. We return it. And he says it's impossible. The word void means empty. It's impossible for his word to return to him empty. When his word returns to him, in other words, you've taken it in your mouth and you've spoken it over the situation, you've spoken it in the fight, you've returned to him, Father, I thank you that you supply all my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When it returns to him, it returns full of power because my faith is released with that speaking of the word. So people who don't have word in them, don't know what God says, cannot return it to him, and faith is not released. Number 3, choose to believe God rather than what you see. When a fight is in front of you, you have a choice to make. You're going to believe what God says about it, or are you going to believe what your eyes say about it? When Pastor Sandy was flown to the special hospital by helicopter, and she arrived, and they bring her in, and I drove and got there. I heard the helicopter coming in. I got there moments before her, came in. The first neurosurgeon to greet me, talked to me, basically said, if you have family, you better get them here. And he wouldn't say it, just shake his head no. And I said, okay, yeah, I'll call my family. And that was about the extent of my reaction. And he says, And so he wanted me to go over and see the scans that they had already taken. And he showed me the scans, and all of this is blood, and this is area already that her brain is, well, we call it stroked out. And I could see, this is a lot of her brain. I saw the pictures. And I had a choice to make. And he was saying, basically, it's impossible. She doesn't survive. Another neurosurgeon, same night. This is a hospital that, I'm going to guess, somewhere around 2,500 beds, 3,000 is big. And this neurosurgeon said, she is probably the sickest person in this hospital. Translate that for me. What does that mean? That means she's going to be the first one to die tonight. That's what it means, right? That's what he told me. She is the sickest person in the hospital. They got their ways of saying things, but I know what he meant. And so I could believe that and the scans that I saw, or I could believe God, who was already abundant in speaking to me on these things. I had a choice to make. You have a choice to make in your fight. Believe God or believe what you see. Well, we were believing God, but now this has happened, and now it just looks hopeless. Come on. You're going to believe God? If it gets worse, this is what I meant last week when I talk about, you know, people say, believe with me for a good report at the doctor. Well, what if you don't get one? What if the doctor says, it's advancing, it's getting worse? You going to believe that? Or are you going to believe what God said? In fact, I'll just say this. Expect it to get worse before it gets better. We're going to have this fight be a good one. And the enemy, he's good at fighting. Yeah, he studied you. He knows you. He knows how to get to you. Yeah, he knows where the triggers are. You know, he knows where the soft points are. He knows where to poke. There you go. For the benefit of those here in the recording, she is saying that sometimes you have to, I'm going to summarize what you said. You have to shut out your friends, family. And she said she didn't even tell most people what she was battling because they discourage you. And there are times when you need to shut out certain voices. People will be used of the enemy, and they don't even know they're being used of the enemy. The chief of neurosurgery at this hospital, and we are talking people that are best in the country, this happened to be female. Her husband is a pastor of a church. And she was the one chief among them saying, no, she won't make it. This is not good. And the outcome will be, well, not good. That's how they talk to you. Yeah, they won't say something directly. I think it's a mind towards liability and lawsuits and all that. But anyway, that was a Christian. So sometimes, yes, choose to believe God instead of what you see. I like what Paul said, Acts 27:25. Says, therefore, take heart, men. What's Paul doing? Encouraging. This is when they had been in the storm on a ship for 2.5 weeks or something like that. And it says all hope of being rescued was gone. And an angel appeared to Paul and gave Paul a message that everyone will be saved. I take just the verse. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. And we had occasions with Sandy to tell that to various medical people. I believe God. I believe it will be. God said she'll fully recover and fully be restored. And the biggest fuss that we had was with Christians. I believe God, not my eyes. I believe what God said, not the circumstances, not the scans, not the test results, not the doctor's report. Number four, review and speak of past victories. It's always good when you're in a fight to think back. You know, God brought us through this when it looked like we weren't going to make it. And God brought us through this when, boy, I don't know how we made it on that one. And God brought us through this. And God brought us through another. And God brought us through another. And courage builds as you do that. 1 Samuel 17:36. Your servant, this is David speaking to King Saul with the challenge of Goliath. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. David reviewed past victories.
Yes.
He reviewed past victories. God delivered into my hand. Now you understand, that means he went with a lion, he went with a bear, and he said, what's a giant? Just another one for God to deliver into my hand. And he didn't go with a sword and a spear and armor. He went with a slingshot. His choice of weapon was interesting, but he really went in the name of the Lord, and he went in faith. His weapon was faith, not a stone. So that one was review and speak of past victories. Number five, know, K-N-O-W, know and use your weapons. If you're going to be in a fight, you're going to need weapons. Let me tell you this right up front. The devil, he don't fight fair. He has dirty tricks. And he knows the pressure points that you and I have. He knows how to push your buttons. He don't fight fair. Well, the Lord's given us weapons and given us instructions on how to fight. You need to know what your weapons are, and you need to know how to use them. Now, I, as a, for instance, happen to like firearms. They're kind of cool. I like, enjoy shooting and so on. Should some kind of a difficulty arise, the weapons can be called upon to defend yourself, right? Well, you need to know your weapon.
Yeah.
You need to know how to use it. You should train with it and be proficient in the use of your weapon. Be skilled in the use of your weapon. What I'm getting at is anybody can buy a gun, but being proficient with it is another matter.
Right.
So it's training, 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 training. Same in aviation. Train for trouble and go through pressure situations all the time. Well, you're in a fight and the pressure's on, and you're going to have to train with your weapons. Know your weapons and train with them. That's why you go from faith to faith. And you start out in little battles and go to bigger battles. Before you believe God for $1 million, you're going to have to work on $1,000. You're going to have to work on $100. You're going to have to work on just paying off debts. And so on and so on. Know your weapons. Know your weapons. Train with them. Grow with them. Grow with them. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, please. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Or in other words, they're not natural or fleshly, but mighty in God. Let's stop there for a second. So it's not the way people usually fight. It may not be in legal maneuvers, as a for instance. Well, I'll just get a better lawyer than everybody else. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. The battle is not always about lawyers, but it may be fighting in God. Your weapons are not natural weapons. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for, and now it tells us where the battlefield is, by the way. The battlefield, if you're in a court battle and you're right, in the right, that battle's not in that court, it's in a higher court. It says, for the pulling down of strongholds. People like to talk about strongholds being demonic forces in the atmosphere. Uh-uh. It's in our own minds. It says, casting down arguments. We're still talking about the same place. The strongholds are arguments. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So you have the knowledge of God and you have things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. This is what we were talking about. Believe God or believe what you see. This is Yabuts. By his stripes, I am healed. Yeah, but you're sicker than a dog and got your face buried in the toilet. Yabut. Yabut. Not yabba dabba doo, it's Yabuts. Pulling down a stronghold. That is where the battle is. In thoughts, in arguments, in pulling down arguments or words or scans or doctor reports or financial statements or bills or any of those things, pulling them down, what place they have in your mind, and replacing them with what did God say. A bill can exalt itself against the knowledge of God. A sickness can exalt itself against the knowledge of God. God's word says, by his stripes I am healed. But my symptoms say this. Well, I need to pull down that stronghold in my mind. What are these symptoms? They ain't nothing compared with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that bought my eternal redemption, that bought my covenant of healing. When Jesus' blood was shed, my healing was bought. I've been inspired by the Spirit of God. Say this over Sandy lately here. Jesus' blood paid the full price. And if he paid the full price, that means I can have the full healing.
That's right. Amen.
He paid too much for a partial job. He paid the full price. And if he paid the full price, I'm going to have the full benefit of my price.
Yes.
If you go over here to Red Lobster and you pay for the dinner portion and they bring you the lunch portion, you should say something about that. I paid for the dinner portion and you're giving me the lunch portion, you're giving me part of? Or if it says three pieces of chicken and you only get one, no. You owe me, two more pieces of chicken are coming. Come on now. If he paid the full price, I'm going to have the full healing.
Yes.
And he did pay the full price.
Yes. Wow. And it's finished.
And it's finished.
Yeah. It's finished.
Now I'm fighting my way to the finish, yes, in terms of manifestation, but it's a done thing. So, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. You see, we're not changing subjects. There's not several battlefields. There's one. There's one place where this battle is fought. And why is it that you seem like you can't get away from the battle? Everywhere you go, the battle goes. You know why? Because you carry the battleground with you. Everywhere you go, your thoughts go with you. And you even know thoughts that you have that you haven't told anybody. Nobody knows about thoughts that you have. But you know you have them. And there's that battle going on. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That's your weapons. Well, let me tell you what some of them are. There's a variety. This is not a comprehensive list, but just some of the things you can think about here, because you'll see them a number of places. Thanksgiving. I just read this morning about 10 lepers. One came back and glorified God with a loud voice, giving thanks. And he was the one made whole, not just cleansed from leprosy. Thankfulness is a weapon.
Yes, it is.
Praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you do that, the enemy says, I think we're leaving. Praise. Yes. Worship.
Yep.
Hearing the word is a weapon. Yeah. Put on a teaching. Speaking the word. Well, if you're going to say something, say what the word says. I say it often. Just some thought occurs to me and I'll say it. I'll say it out loud. What the Lord said to me, there'll be no loss. And the context of that was, you know, diminishing Sandy's use of her hands and feet and things like that. And he told me, there'll be no loss. So I look at her and I see that she's not there yet. And I'll just say out loud, there will be no loss. There will be no loss. So putting the word in your mouth is a weapon. Being unmoved in peace. Think of this. You're sitting there, peaceful, calm in the presence of the Lord, and the enemy is jumping and shouting and yakking like a little pesky dog barking all around you. Doesn't that get to you, you know? And yeah. And you're just, I don't see you. You don't bother me. You don't move me. And then maybe if you had enough of it, now get!
That's right. Yeah, amen.
Shut him up. But your peace is a weapon. It frustrates the daylights out of the enemy when he can do all his yakety yak, 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 and you don't even notice it. There were times where Jesus pretended like he didn't even hear. And what's he doing? He's maintaining his peace. He's not moved by things. That's a weapon. Taking your thoughts captive, you know, You think a thing, you fear a thing, whatever. No. Not entertaining the devil's games. I see you, Satan. I see what you're doing. We ain't going down that road. You're trying to bait me into an argument and a fight, and I'll just say this and speak something from the Word and move on. And number six here, finally, of the six things that I'm telling you, how to have courage in the face of adversity. Number six is prepare yourself to persevere. If you think you can say the word a couple of times and the battle's over in 10 minutes, you may have some battles over in 10 minutes. But as these things increase in our lives, our greater and greater and greater victories, they're longer and longer fights. And many fights take time. Many fights are over a length of time. Last scripture we'll look at here, Hebrews 6:15. This is talking about Abraham. After he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. In other words, he had the full manifestation of the victory after he patiently endured. There are some things that your weapon and what's necessary in the fight is endurance. Now, that's not good news. At least I don't welcome it. I want to hit the enemy once or twice and it's all over with, right? Just boom, done.
Yes.
Right. And there'll be some things that are like that. Actually, the things that are like that is something that used to be a hard fight and you've grown in faith and now it's easy for you. Once you whoop them in an area once, you can whoop them in that area easier and easier and easier. But patient endurance. Some fights last days, weeks, months. Can anybody say years?
Amen.
And this is talking about Abraham receiving the son of promise. How long was that? That was years after he had patiently endured. And including last night, I said, Lord, if there's anything you could instruct me, teach me something I need to know. Am I in some way needing something, coming up short? Is there a way that something I could bring the results along here for Pastor Sandy? I would have really objected to you telling me it's going to take a year. And here we are, a year. And I would really object if you said it's going to take another year. And I don't know. I'm not saying yes or no on that. But I know this, that I want it to be as soon as it can be. And I'm asking, how do I get there? How do I get there? And again, the Lord last night just basically said to me, you keep walking by faith like you are. You keep doing what you're doing. You keep speaking. Now, he told me, you keep yourself strong. You stay in the Word. But you stick with this thing. And so what's the quickest way for me to have the resolution in the greatest number of things? Just keep walking by faith. Just keep walking by faith. There is a perseverance. There is a persistence. The reading I did this morning, I'm in Luke. I'm reading about the persistent widow. And it says there, shall God not avenge his elect who cry out to him night and day? And I said, well, now, Lord, that's me. I'm your elect. And I see here, Lord, that you were teaching this lady in the story here that persisted and cried out night and day for justice. Yeah. Night and day. I said, well, I'm crying out to you night and day. And I don't know that I'm crying. I'm not crying, but I'm on it all the time. Yeah. I'm saying the word and things like that. I'm thanking the Lord. I'm praising the Lord, worshiping God. I thank you for all that's been accomplished, all that's ours, all that we have, all that we will see, and we will see it, you know. I'm on that. And it. And then Jesus said, God will avenge speedily.
Amen.
It may not feel speedily, but is it speedily?
He said it is.
Yeah. Said he would. Yeah. So sometimes the things to consider, I mean, how long does it take for the impossible to happen? Some things people will tell you, doctors will tell you, well, this is impossible, can't happen. How much time are you willing to invest to have the impossible happen? What's it worth to you to have a victory? And many fights, it's not who has the most impressive muscle, not who can produce the greatest flurry of punches. It's who simply lasts the longest. I may be in a contest of endurance. Who's going to last the longest? Well, I am.
Amen. Me too.
Between me and the enemy,
me too.
He can give up.
Yep.
I won't. I haven't. I won't. I'm as convinced today as the moment it happened. In fact, I'm stronger, better. We're making progress. We're going along here. We're winning. The Lord wouldn't save her life just for me to lose after that.
Exactly.
for us to lose after that. No, I know the intention that he has. And the only thing that can stop it is me or we giving up. Her giving up. It's not just me. It's me, her, these in the front here, those of you pulling with us. Persistence. How long are we going to be in this fight? Don't matter. I just know I keep going. And I know we win. Courage in the face of adversity. Amen. You going through something? I hope to have encouraged you today and taught you some things about how. Father, we just bless you and thank you. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we can be of good courage. Be strong and courageous. Be very courageous. Father, we thank you that we can build that in ourselves by your word. We thank you that it's working on our behalf even now. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can win. So go out and be victorious. Amen.